Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, greetings. Welcome inside the Slide Over Baby Hour here on Fox. Jason Smith and Mike Harmon ready to bring you a final hour. But today in baseball has been that kind of day. We got a big anniversary we're going to get to coming up in a couple minutes. But tonight, and we're not going to talk about the Mets losing to the Nationals again. But tonight, the Astros beat the Diamondbacks 8-2. All right, now, that's not really surprising. The Diamondbacks are terrible, and Houston is starting to pick up a little bit. And look, they're my pick for the World Series. They're on this Spygate 2007, you think we're cheaters tour. We're going to go and just beat the crap out of you up and down the field. Okay, I kind of get that. But tonight was an interesting night that maybe Major League Baseball and players are now taking advantage of the fact that baseball's got bigger fish to fry with COVID-19. Not one, not two, not three, but four Astros hitters were hit tonight by Diamondbacks pitchers. You had two hit by pitches by Bumgarner, or actually had three by Bumgarner, Widener with a hit by pitch. So now you're starting to see it's not just Correa and Springer, it's not just Correa and Altuve and Bregman. No, you're seeing now guys getting hit up and down the order for the Houston Astros, and it's kind of cool that the rest of Major League Baseball has just said, you know what? I can't tell you how upset I am about Rob Manfred and protecting the Astros, and I don't care if you're telling me that I could be suspended if I throw at the Astros. We're still going to do it because we still need to make sure that we administer baseball justice, which for 100 years, this is how baseball has done it. This is how we've done it. Rob Manfred, I'm sorry you're new to the game, even though you've been with the league a long time, but I'm sorry you're new to this whole how baseball works thing. So we're going to make sure that we're still going to go out and do our thing. And four hit by pitches tonight for the Diamondbacks against the Astros. And you know what? This is kind of how it's going to go. And I thought we would see pitchers back off a bit and not throw inside as much. Nope. It's happening. Especially with Bumgarner on the mound. You know, listen, I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want to. I don't care. I don't care what you say. I'm just going to do whatever I want to. And then you try to call me to tell me you want to suspend me or fine me, I'm going to hang up the phone on you. That's kind of how Bumgarner does it.
Two hitters in the second. See, obviously we're watching as much as we can, head on a swivel between the NHL, the NBA bubble, and that great game that we had a little bit earlier with the Carmelo Anthony heroics, Major League Baseball across the board. Obviously, I was sitting there with my beloved White Sox with another victory tonight. But I saw the 8-2 final. I'm like, four hit by pitches. Wow, they really got loose once the game was out. Two guys in the second, one in the fifth. And then Springer got hit once it was 8-1. So, I mean, that one was just a bonus territory. But, you know, you kind of keeping an eye on situationally where they come in. And, oh, here's one that without seeing benefit of replay, I gotta think that maybe went inside, just said, I'm not giving you up the plate, and got a little bit off versus later on going, forget it. Springer, you could wear it again.
I can hit this guy. Yeah, guess what? You're going to wear it right
here. Well, they're not looking for it now. This game's out of reach. It's done. I mean, we're the Diamondbacks. We're not the Dodgers. Here.
When's the last time we dot this guy?
Boom.
But I kind of dig the fact that baseball have decided to say, we don't – because, look, players, the confidence level in Rob Manfred is so low right now. It's so incredibly low that players – now, you saw Steven Souza today saying he's embarrassed, you know, for Major League Baseball because of the way they're acting and with COVID-19 and playing the games and everything that went on, getting the game back on the field. He's embarrassed for it. The confidence level in Rob Manfred is at an all-time low, so much so that – it normally a decision to suspend a pitcher for 8 games for throwing at batters would be met with pitchers saying, oh, you know, this sucks. Now I can't even throw inside because now I'm going to get suspended and I don't want that. And teams are saying, no, you know, we're just going to ignore that and do our thing. You want to come at me and do it? Come at me and do it. And you, but we're going to go out and do our thing. And I think that's refreshing because it's not always where a ruling is made that is good for the game. Then clearly Rob Manfred is going to protect his own legacy over what is right for the Astros because that's what he's done from the beginning because he doesn't want to wear the Astros cheating scandal to define his MLB commissionership. Well, I'm sorry, you got to wear stuff because you're the commissioner. You know why? You wanted to be it, so you can't just be it on days where, hey, this is a good day and I get to shine my name on my fancy nameplate on my desk and say, I'm Major League Baseball commissioner. No, you got to be commissioner on the tough days too. This is what being commissioner is all about. And so I'm glad the players have said, you know what, I can't believe this guy is doing this, and now we're still going to go do our thing. You want to come in and suspend me and come after me? Come after me. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe I lose, but you're going to lose even bigger because Manfred, he is hanging by a thread right now as far as his reputation. And when the next CBA comes up, good luck. Good luck, because as all of this went, it's not like they like Manfred enough anyway. Now they start the season not the way they wanted to. Then you're going to put this on top of it that affects all other 29 teams in Major League Baseball. Yeah, good luck. Rob Manfred, the players are now just saying, you know what? No, I don't care what you do. I'm still going to do my thing. And I think that's refreshing. And this is how it should be done, because baseball's done it this way for 100 years, and it's worked.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is you've got to have a fall guy. And unfortunately, Rob Manfred, you're the fall guy. The fight between the players and the owners, we know it was contentious trying to get this thing to the state it is now. And they're pivoting as they can. And remember, it goes back to we celebrate the bubbles of the NHL and NBA. And they had the opportunity. The players didn't want it. Now, it would have been Arizona and Florida, and we've seen – well, look at the statistics. I'll just leave it at that. And don't think guys aren't going to be able to find – guys could find trouble wherever they want to. I would just say the season would have started if on time in the spring break kind of time after spring training was done, if they just stayed there. I don't know how well that would have worked. But when we talk about the rest of it, it's a read and react type business. Like the Houston Astros ruling was absurd, and everybody recognizes that around the game. I don't know how they didn't, and that's one that you'll forever want to get a better explanation and not lawyer speak as to what they decided there. Now that the Astros have to wear it the entire season, and well, they should have anyway, they just won't have the jeering of the fans. That will be waiting for them for 2021. Because let's face it, with all the angst and everything you've been robbed of this year, and I'm talking to you, our beloved audience nationwide and around the globe, aren't you ready to go boo the Astros in 2021? Can't they be the fall guy for everything else that you got screwed out of going to and being part of this spring and summer, and it looks like fall? Yeah, I think they will, and I think they'll wear it again next year. Will they wear it on the ribs as much as George Springer's going to this year? Maybe not. Maybe that'll calm down. But the fans haven't had their say yet. Oh, no, that's still coming. In the interim, everybody's got their vitriol for Rob Manfred. And let's face it, you don't do jobs like ours or have a job like his unless you're ready for the boos and the jeers and the four-letter words that come your way. You just wave, smile, and move on to the next thing in the files.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. So that's tonight in Major League Baseball. But what
and Mike
about
Mike Trout came back?
Yes, and Mike Trout, and he hit a home run Yay. Tonight. He's got a kid. He's got a home run.
First at bat. Yeah,
it's kind of he does that all the time. I feel like he does that a lot. It's big night.
That's good. It felt also, like a meaningful at bat too.
Well, for now, it's meaningful at bats.
Well, he came back. He could have very easily just said, you know what, I'm done.
True. He could have.
So that's a win for baseball. I'll give them a W for that one.
But it was also 27 years ago tonight, one of the biggest baseball highlights that you have seen took place. A hot August 4th night where a young production assistant at ESPN named Jason Smith was tasked with cutting the highlight and editing the Rangers and the White Sox. Well, what's going on, right? Rangers, White Sox, Nolan Ryan is pitching. All right, you know, that'll be my thing for SportsCenter. I've been with the company for maybe 3 months, and I'm editing highlights, and which is what you do when you first start. Okay, this is pretty cool. And then this happened.
Sure, RBI single in the first. Watch out. Look at this. Delayed for a second. There they go.
Well, Rodriguez comes up, grabs Robin from behind. Here's where you get going right there when the two guys come up and grab you. Now three got him. Now Robin turns him around.
Well, you could see that Nolan was hitting Robin right on the top of his head, so he probably hurt his hand.
MLB Productions on the call when Nolan Ryan got in a brawl, plunking Robin Ventura of the White Sox, then of the White Sox, before he became Mets legend Robin Ventura. Ventura waits for a second and then decides, no, I got to go out and fight Nolan Ryan, who is 46 years old. I just have to go out and do it. I can't just go right to first base. He hit me right between the numbers. He goes out there and right kind of stumbles, and Ryan gets the upper hand right away, gets him in a headlock, and he's just giving him punches. And I'm like, how is Robin Ventura losing this fight to Nolan Ryan? I don't get it. I can't believe this. When this happened, this goes on. And, you know, the way the screening room is at ESPN is everybody's in this big room and you got television monitors in front of you and you're editing the game and you're recording it on a big videotape. This is what how it was done in the 90s. And so I'm watching. Everybody has one game they're assigned to. I get assigned to this game. So I'm watching. All of a sudden, I just yell out, Nolan Ryan's in a brawl. And then 50 people just, boom, came right over to my TV set. Yep. And was like, oh, and I looked up and I said, wow, I got a lot of responsibility on me tonight because I'm editing the highlight, putting it together, getting it on SportsCenter, all this stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, this is a really big deal. Suddenly everybody's going to know who I am. Everybody's going to know, and I got to put this together right and do it. And I'm saying, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? Oh, my God. So I go in. They give me like 3 minutes for the highlight. They said, whatever time you need. They're blowing out features and other highlights of games, and I'm in cutting this all up, and I'm going, oh, my God, this is so stressful. This is so incredibly stressful, but it turned out well. The highlights turned out well. They ran it the next day. Everything was really good, and it was that night where I walked away going, oh, I really like this adrenaline rush. This TV production thing is a lot of fun. This is
Hawk
a lot
and Wimpy
of fun
on the call too, so it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but I still can't get over the fact that Ventura lost the fight. I can't get over he
see,
lost the fight.
Here's now, nah, but see, this is where you got to dig a little deeper.
Okay. Right?
So you got a couple of shots to the head. If Ivan Rodriguez doesn't grab him from behind, he's about to get belly to back suplexed.
Okay.
Because Ventura gets his arms around Ryan's waist. And yeah, you could see he's about to slow him and stand him up. If that keeps going, that doesn't end well for Nolan Ryan. As much as I love this, the narrative that's been created around this for years. And look, I always gave Robin Ventura credit because Nolan Ryan had been dotting guys and coming inside forever and nobody ever looked at him. I mean, maybe the reputation as being a badass and a rancher. Like he was
well, and also,
cattle and everything.
You know he's gonna throw 100 miles an hour and you know he's going to hit you. It's not well, like, oh, I'll throw inside, I'll throw a purpose.
No, that's it.
No, I will hit
he'd
you.
He'd gotten away with it for 20 years. So
sure.
Or 25 years.
Yeah.
So finally, Robin Ventura said, to hell with this. and went at it. And they took a couple of shots to the top of the head, but I contend if Ivan Rodriguez, you know, the extra juice that he had doesn't get him out there fast to help Nolan Ryan, I think we might have had something a different turnout here.
Although
I did like seeing the replay of Bo Jackson out there, Jack McDowell, all the legends.
Yeah, no. You noticed that people were giving Bo Jackson a bit of a wide berth. Like when he would get into a scrum of people, suddenly it would part. I don't want a part of Bo Jackson. All right, Bo, whatever. I'm not even going to try to hold you back. I'm just going to get out of your way. I'm just going to move out a little bit. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, there it is. Blackjack McDowell. all sorts of legends on the field for that one. The Skip, Kevin Kennedy was in the fray. Yeah.
Look how happy you are looking back. You know, it was 27 years ago, but it feels like it was last night for you.
Well, I mean, it's a replay I've probably seen 900,000 times.
Sure.
Nolan Ryan signs pictures either, with about the bloody lip or don't mess with Texas is how I would describe them. It's a pretty good inscription.
Mm-hmm.
So you got
it's fun. It's absolutely fun.
I'm watching a slow-mo replay of it now. 3 steps, 4 steps. All right, that's it. I'm done.
I'm getting nothing out of Harmon the rest of the night. I am getting nothing out of you the rest of the night. That's how it's
going. I've been nothing but brilliant all night long. What are you talking about?
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We are live, as always, from the Geico Studios. We got some big NBA on the way, but first let me tell you, AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. So visit AutoZone.com today. That's AutoZone.com to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Coming up next, yes, I'm going to continue my apology tour tonight because there's an athlete I need to apologize after something I was wrong about. But
I'm so excited.
Well, it's not Tim Tebow.
I'm very, very excited
it's not
about
Tebow.
It.
But coming up next, outside of the three big favorites, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, who are two surprise teams that we're not talking about that I wouldn't be shocked if they won the NBA title
Cleveland!
And carried away the Larry O'Brien trophy? Unfortunately, they're not there. Neither are the Knicks. Who are those two teams? That's coming up next as Soft Rock Night continues here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, so this is where we're going with Soft Rock here, the Slide Over Baby Hour.
Well, it is Slide Over Baby time.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios.
Who wants a mustache, right?
Dave Roberts, Dodgers manager, was asked after the game last night against the Padres, hey, what do you think of the Padres continuing to play soft rock throughout the stadium, kind of lull everybody to sleep, keep the energy low? And Dave Roberts said, hey, I kind of loved it because it made me, I heard some songs made me think about my parents, which I thought was pretty cool. So tonight's been soft rock night. And fortunately or unfortunately, it's been in the hands of Alex Teicher, who has gone from the beginning of the show playing Nickelback to now we're getting Color Me Bad.
Did you say Nickelback?
What am I doing? What am I doing?
It's a Pavlovian response.
I mean, I think we've gotten one true soft rock song.
You take that back.
Right? We got Jerry Rafferty, Baker Street. Like, I haven't got.
That was great.
I played a Toto.
We didn't. All right, you did give us Toto.
Toto was good.
We did get Toto. But we haven't gotten Air
that
Supply
That doubled
yet.
Your expectations.
No, we haven't gotten Air. We should get Air Supply.
What?
Sure.
Breathe in. You got some.
Yeah, we should get Dan Fogelberg. Are you kidding? We had
such as the language of love or old anxiety.
Old anxiety. We need. We need Al Stewart. Year of the Cat. We want a lot of things.
It's real simple.
Out the Year of the Cat.
It's the Year of the Cat.
Jason, it's real simple. You do the hot takes. I do the music. Right.
Oh. Okay.
See, now I want to hear the Year of the Cat.
I mean, I kind of think, didn't you play like the Crash Test Dummies version of some kind of crazy-ass song in the first hour?
I played Disturbed, The Sound of Silence. That was a good one. That was soft.
I was just waiting to hear, once there was this kid who got into an accident. That's kind of what I thought it was in the
that
beginning.
That kind of reminded me of Wilford Brimley.
All right, very good.
I know.
Too soon. Too soon for Wilford
Brimley. No, let's celebrate soon, the life. A life well lived.
Can we play it one more time?
All right, go ahead. We'll play it one more time. Go ahead.
I'm Wilford Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes.
That's so good.
You know what the best part was? You know what the best part of this weekend was? The celebration of his life, you know, with Wilford Brimley passing away, is that, yeah, obviously a tragedy, but I mean what people remembering of him, because that was, you know, it was really cool. Look, this guy was a legend. You know, it was Pop Fisher in The Natural. He was in The Thing, which is one of the greatest horror movies of all time.
That's a great
The Firm.
One.
I mean, he was everywhere.
He was the Postmaster General on Seinfeld.
That's right. He was Postmaster General. But it's like, you know, he gets – he was also the spokesman for diabetes and was in Quaker Oats commercials. I'm like, this guy's had like a 50-year career in Hollywood, and I don't understand why he's not getting the credit that, you know, it's all in Quaker Oats commercials. So I went to his Twitter account, and the day before he died, he put out a tweet. Someone asked him, what would his wrestler name be? Right, what would his wrestling name be? And he wrote out the choices were Under Quaker and the Diabetes. And he actually hashtagged it WWE Wilford Wrestling Entertainment. Now, I don't know whether he does it or someone else does it for him, but the fact that the clothes were the Under Quaker and the Diabetes, I mean, that's pretty fun. That's pretty fun. That is legendary right there. Wilfred Brimley. Oh, man. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon is a big night in the NBA bubble. And the big play of the night is coming to us from the NBA bubble, which will be my big apology to a player who I need to apologize to. We have that coming up this hour. But sometimes there are games that mean a little bit more in the NBA bubble than others. Now, was it tonight when the Nets pull the biggest upset in 27 years in the NBA, beating the Bucks? No, it wasn't quite that game. It wasn't the Rockets and the Blazers. But there's a couple of games that you have to stop and think, what does this mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. There are three teams that we're not talking about that can win the NBA title outside of the three favorites. Right? Whenever we say who's going to win the title in the NBA, it defaults to the Bucks and the Lakers and the Clippers, right? Those three teams. That's it. Those are the teams that can win. Bucks, Lakers, Clippers. That's all we're talking about. Who else can win it? Yeah, you know, we're seeing the Toronto Raptors get a little bit of love, and I get it. They're really overachieving, and they're playing so well, and look, better than anybody thought they were going to play, and Fred VanVleet's going to get really paid in the offseason.
No question but about it.
I'm going to give you two teams, one in the East and one in the West, that I would not be surprised to see them win the title. If they walk away at the end, I'm going to say, yep, I can completely see it coming. And the first thing I'm going to give you is the Miami Heat. They win tonight without Jimmy Buckets, who didn't play with a sore ankle. Doesn't matter. They win a big game over Boston. But this team is 90s Knicks tough, right? Or as tough as you can be in 2020. The 2020 version of how tough the Knicks were.
As much as the rules all allow, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, but that's kind of what they remind me of, because they're a rough team. This bubble is made for Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo to rise. This is their time. All right, now, over the course of an 82-game season, could the Heat do this? Could they play this style and win? Probably not, but here you are in the bubble, and it's clear that they have everything you need to make this kind of run. All right, this is going to be a war of desire and belief as it gets in the playoffs. Who's going to be that team that can step up? And the tougher teams are always going to be the teams that win. Plus, you look at their roster, they go nine deep with guys that can come off the bench and score, whether it's Tyler Herro, anybody else, AI. They can put points on the board. They have everything they need. They got good news tonight. Goran Dragic's ankle came back negative, so it's a mild sprain. He's going to be out a couple of days most likely. But this is a team that I can see them just buzzsawing through teams in the East. Because of the nobody knows how things are going to go. It's a weird playoff. A lot of it is going to be mentally where you're at. But I would not be surprised to see the Heat win the NBA title.
No, big fan. You know, I've always been a big fan of Jimmy Buckets. So beating the Celtics as they did today with him sitting this one out, a huge win. And you're getting more from Tyler Herro. He's got no conscience when it comes to putting up threes. Iguodala giving them quality minutes. Look, he's not going to fill up the stat sheet like he used to. But veteran leadership, Kendrick Nunn, playing some big minutes. So you're seeing that. And I love Bam Adebayo. You know, I love saying the name, singing the name now and again, but I think there's talent there. I'll take you one from the West, and, well, you got the play of the night will come up with him, but when you talk about bringing back the big men of Nurkic and you look at Collins coming back, you got more rotation, you got good, strong guard play when we're talking about Lillard and McCollum, and I feel like I'm getting ready to build an NCAA title contender. Look, I got robbed at the tournament, so I might as well make this my NCAA tournament, and in doing so, I'm taking the stipulation of if they're in, they're dangerous. And this is a team that, I'll tell you what, a first-round matchup with the Lakers would be a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And look, they don't look like an 8 seed right now.
No.
You know, they don't look like an 8 seed. They look like a team that, boy, they're tough. They're here. That has embraced the restart. I mean, now, getting there, they still have to worry about getting, because you got to you got to be 8. You got to win the play-in game. That could be a tough thing. So it's not suddenly.
And the Grizzlies lost Jackson.
Yeah, right? So that's going to be tough for them.
That's a big loss for them as well. So
that's, I mean, it's tough. Yeah, it's going to be there. And I'll tell you, to give you a hint, well, as a player on that team, I'm going to have to apologize to you.
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't mention him here.
My team in the West that I wouldn't be surprised, and this is more so about being able to take advantage of the format, even more so than the Heat, because look, playing physical, it's tougher to do it over 82 games in a full playoffs now. It's just harder to do. So it's easier for the Heat to do what they're doing now, but this is what's made for this team to potentially cut through the West like a hot knife through butter, and that's the Mavericks. Because Luka Doncic is playing at such a high level right now, and Kristaps Porzingis, the 1-2 punch they have. Look, it's an offense that's setting records in the NBA this year. And the biggest thing about Porzingis is what? His health. You're not asking him, you got to be healthy for 82 games in the playoffs. You're saying, just stay healthy for right here. That's it. We got 8 games and then the playoffs. Just be healthy here. 2.5 months, and that's what we got. And then whatever else happens over the course of your career, we'll figure it out. If you're missing time here, you're missing time here. But this 1-2 punch can be devastating for a team that doesn't have to worry about being on the short end of home court advantage, because every series they would play, they're going to finish at the bottom of the West. They're not going to finish 8th, but they're going to be looking up at in a normal series. They would have to play, only get 3 games at home if they got that. Now you have to worry about it, because you're talking about what's on an equal court in a neutral site on the bubble. Everything is in line. I would not be surprised to see the Mavericks make a big run behind Doncic, behind KP, and they win the NBA title. That happens. Luka Doncic, as much as he's respected right now, he vaults up to the conversation of, is he the best player in the game? Is he as good as Giannis? Is it him? Is it Giannis? That's kind of where I can see things going for the Mavericks, because clearly they have an offense that can go do it, because they're this good all the way. Hey, we can run right through. It's a short period of time. It's a sprint. Go do it. I can see them doing it too.
Yeah, I've mentioned the Raptors before. Now they're getting a lot of run, you know, and LeBron James, you know, getting all poetic about their chances and their team this weekend. I mean, they're no longer a dark horse. Suddenly that's team everybody jumps on. So I'll go back to the Sixers that I talked about weeks ago. I don't know what to expect from them night to night, but you've got some great talent up front. So if everything breaks right and Boston can't get out of their own way, as we've seen a bunch here to start things, just maybe the door cracks open and Milwaukee, you know, the presumptive favorite, something, you know, there's a crack in their armor along the way. Now, they've got no reason to play for anything now, but, you know, trying to switch it back on. It's like we've talked about with the Clippers all year as well. Once the lights are bright, can you just say, all right, now it's time to play basketball and go out and win 16 times? Difficult proposition.
You know, and that's the thing about the Clippers, too, is they lost tonight, and it's another game, you know, it's their third game that they've played and they've not won. They got to be cautious now. They said they're going to be cautious after Beverly injures his calf. This is where I'm not as concerned about the Clippers, but I'm getting there. Because since the beginning of November, the rallying cry for the Clippers has been, you just wait till we get everybody on the same page. You just wait. Okay, that was November, December, January, February, March. We had the break, and now we're back here in July and August, and it's Lou Williams has left the team. Montrezl Harrell left the team. Lou Williams is back. They're waiting for Harrell. Now they have injury situations. If there's any team that can hit the ground running, if everybody is healthy in there, the beginning of the NBA playoffs, it's the Clippers. These aren't young kids who need to figure things out. These are vets, right? You're counting on minutes from guys like Harrell and Lou Williams, who have been around for 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, you're talking about Kawhi, who joined a brand new team last year, led him to a title. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about Paul George, none of that. But if they're not whole, that's a big worry, because the biggest thing for the Clippers, and I said when I picked them to win the title the beginning of the season, was their depth. Because, you know, you talk about, all right, you got 5 guys on the court that are just as good as anybody else. Then you have the next 4 or 5 guys coming off the bench to teams that say, half these guys would start for us. They're that good. And they would play big-time minutes. This is what the Clippers have, is that depth. But we still haven't seen it. And we're running out of time now. There's not that much time left. You know, there's 5 games left until the Clippers have to put it on the line for real and hope everybody is ready to go and everybody is healthy. And I haven't seen that yet. And to say, all right, it's okay because they still have time to get there, but this is, we're going on 10 months now of saying, here come the, just wait for the Clippers. How much longer? You can't wait much longer. They got to be healthy and ready in the next 2 weeks. And I don't know. Can they say that? I don't know that they can. I don't know. I mean, I'm hopeful for them because I picked them, but I don't know if they can be.
Yeah, I will say this. I mean, one big benefit, and they brought it up on the telecast, which I think was a great observation, is we're not going to be able to recognize Doc Rivers' playoff voice because he doesn't have to scream.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe.
So we're going to actually hear his actual voice, and he will not be the parody that you and Jamie Foxx and so many others have done the last couple of seasons.
Hey, Doc, can you talk about what happened at the end of the game tonight?
Surely. What happened at the end was we were able to inbound the ball successfully under the basket and get a big hoop, and I'm going to eat this microphone because my levels are really, really low. Look at that. Listen to how I sound right now. I sound like some sexy late-night DJ. That's me. Next question.
That's going to be Doc Rivers.
That was brilliant right there.
You like that, huh? Sexy late-night DJ.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Soft rock.
This is soft rock. Alda Snow is definitely soft rock. I can't say you're lying to me right there. It's been a soft rock kind of night. Have the play of the night coming your way in a minute. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. So we gave you our surprise teams that could win the NBA title a few minutes ago, and now I need to apologize. I need to apologize to somebody who just so happens to be the play of the night.
Shot clock at 12. Crosses over. He attacks, dribbles, drives, and kicks. Out to CJ. Out to Melo. Straight away. 3 is good! Carmelo Anthony knocks it down, and the Blazers are up 5.
Blazers Radio Network on the call. Melo, his second of 2 threes in the game that clinches the win for them in the final minute. He plays 36 minutes, 15 points, 11 boards. And this is what I mean when I have to say I am sorry. How many times on this show have I said, Melo is done. He's finished. He can't even run more than 5 feet and he's limping and the workouts don't look good. He's done. He couldn't make it with his last couple of teams more than just 5 minutes. He's done. He's not going to be a guy that can do anything.
He rallied like the Ultimate Warrior. We used to grab the ropes and hype himself up, kind of a half-ass attempt to emulate Hulk Hogan. So, you know, it's that. Now we've got, you know, 2020 Melo. Everything else may have, you know, some cracks in it and some problems, but no, he has risen like the Phoenix.
He was done. And all he's done since he's gotten to Portland, who wanted him a year and a half ago, and he goes, come on, guys, Portland, come on. But then when it was, oh, boy, it's Portland or nobody, hey, I'm ready to go to Portland. He's playing routinely over 30 minutes a night, whether it was before the break or after the past 3 games. He's starting. He's contributing. He's scoring 15 a game. He's still pulling down 6 and 7 rebounds a night. I thought he was done. He has turned into a linchpin for this Blazers team. The emotional touchstone that everybody loves. Lillard and McCollum love the guy. Love him, love him, love him. They're the ones that called him and said, Melo, come here. We need you. We need you. Turns out they knew what they were talking about. And Melo has jump-started his career to the point now where next year he's going to get a pretty good offer from a team and he's going to wind up being on a bigger contender because he took this time to prove, hey, I still got it. You know, maybe I would have worn down a little bit if I had to play the whole season then into the playoffs and I would have worn down a bit, but now we stopped and we started again months later and look how much spring I have in my step, how well I'm moving. I'm okay with being a third or fourth or fifth option. No, he's going to wind up signing with the team, Lakers, who is going to give him, you know, a decent amount of money to say, listen, come be the Dwayne Wade now, because that's what Wade did the last couple of years for the Miami Heat. He started sometimes, played minutes, but he was a guy that down the stretch would hit big buckets for them. And that's what Wade did at the end of his career. And that's what Carmelo Anthony is showing. I can do this as well. And he's going to be someplace next year, and he's going to play a few more years in the league. And I thought the guy was done, and I was wrong. I thought there was no way this experiment wasn't going to last, and here it is. Here's Melo, and Portland doesn't look like an 8 seed, and now the Lakers are going, oh, boy, we could have our hands full if we wind up playing this team. Still a ways to go, because you're talking about not knowing what the 8-9 matchup's going to be and who's going to wind up in it and where, and it's one game, winner take all, and you're moving on. So, you know, depending if you're the nine seed or not, you have to win one more game. Just say it plays out with Portland in the 8 seed. Ooh, boy, I don't know the Lakers want to play them.
No. Now that the big guys are back and getting their legs together as well, you've got lean and mean Carmelo Anthony playing some defense tonight. I don't know how much you got to watch as your head was on a swivel. I know your neck's sore. As it is with all of you, America, we're so gluttonous and so excited for sports to be back. We're trying to get a few minutes of everything. Remember to ice your thumbs. Right, your clicker fingers, they haven't necessarily been exercised the same way as it is when sports are flowing. So be careful. But, yeah, if Melo continues to play at this level and is committing on both ends of the court, they become that much more dangerous. I mean, you've got all the component parts and star power, and you've got a 26,000-point scorer who's a luxury as you go through into this playoff run. So, yeah, it's interesting times, right? 2020 has created some weird circumstances, but all the old heads, as you would call them, I mean, because look at those guys. Him and LeBron, 2003 draft class together, and still at the top of the game. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, don't forget, a new Special Teams podcast drops tomorrow. Go to iTunes, pick it up. We'll have more details on it tomorrow night, of course, here on the show. But coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller here on Soft Rock Night for Mike Harmon and Alex Teichert.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the lead singer of Air Supply. This is Fox.